This time last week, I was in a van with 14 other people. We were driving through the desert of southern Arizona with volunteers from No More Deaths. We'd gotten up at 4:30 in the morning, been fed tamales, beans, eggs, huevos with chorizo, tortillas, queso, fed by local people in the town of Ajo, and we'd been sent off with a ceremony for strength and protection. We'd been briefed on what we might expect by local volunteers as far as they could tell. They knew, and we knew, that Border Patrol knew we were there. They knew, and we knew, that we had absolutely no idea what their response would be to 60 people traveling out into the desert to very intentionally violate the terms of our permits by abandoning personal property, in other words, leaving water, on the land of the Cabeza Pieta National Refuge. We knew that we were crossing several jurisdictions of land from the Organ Pipe National Monument, which is under the jurisdiction of the National Park Service, to the Cabeza Prieta National Wildlife Refuge, which is under the jurisdiction of the Fish and Wildlife Service. Both of those agencies had the authority to detain us if they chose to do so. We had gotten some background and some training what to say, what not to say if we were approached by any law enforcement officers, including Border Patrol. We were asked to either say nothing other than giving our identification and perhaps falling back on, we are here to provide humanitarian aid. And that's it. We could be stopped. There were three vans and a truck leading us out, so we could have been stopped anywhere on the road. It was about a 17-mile trek by car, which took 2 hours on the desert road. So we could be stopped anywhere along there. We could be stopped when we got out of the vans. We could be stopped as individuals when we were walking out with our water bottles. And so when we reached the site of the first Border Patrol station, which is a very impressive, full of strength site behind its barbed wire fencing and its solar panels so that we know they're being green, and its grills out on the side of the building so that agents would be able to have some entertainment and good food in the midst of their work. By the time we passed that Border Patrol station, our nerves were running a little high. Our nerves were beginning to run a little high. And so we began to sing. Courage, my friends, you do not go alone. We will walk with you and sing your spirits home. And as we sang, we began to settle just a little bit, along with, in my particular van, along with the 13 faith leaders and the driver, who was also a faith leader. We had a No More Deaths volunteer who was a nurse, and so she was acting as one of our medics. We got to a kiosk in which we knew this, we had been instructed. We each had a permit to be on the National Wildlife Refuge. And so at the kiosk, we had to drop a card that listed all of our names and all of our permit numbers, right? And we were told this is routine procedure for entering the wildlife refuge. And so we got to the kiosk ready to do that. And there were two fish and wildlife vehicles there with three officers. And those officers wanted to look at each of our individual permits, which we had been instructed to have on our persons, which we showed them. I say we, almost everybody stayed in the vans except the folks who were designated as law enforcement liaisons. So those folks got out, talked to the law enforcement officers. The officers walked up and down the line of vans in their body armor and guns. This is the Fish and Wildlife Service. In their body armor and their guns. Walked up and down the lines, just looking in to our vans. And then they went back, gave back the permits, took the cards, asked our liaisons if we had enough water for our personal use, and waved us on. About a half hour later, we got to our site, where we parked all three vans and the trucks, and they had instructed us earlier, so we were ready to do this, because it was already hot at 9 o'clock or so in the desert. It was already hot, and so they wanted to make sure we knew what to do as soon as we got out of the vans. And what we did was form a line. My group was 34 people, plus a No More Deaths facilitator between every five or so. So we had about 40 people. We lined up in a straight line like this, 10 to 12 feet apart from each other. Each of us had 2 gallons of water on which we had written messages to the people who might encounter them. Things like Vaya con Dios and Agua Pura, pure water, go with God. And we started to walk in a straight line towards a landmark that they had pointed out. We were instructed as we were walking to watch out for cactus. The desert is a prickly place, boy. to watch out for cactus and also to watch out for anything that could look like bones. No More Deaths volunteers almost never go out without finding human remains on one of their trips. And so we walked out super, super slowly. Everybody had personal water. Everybody had water. We were also instructed to yell, hold, whenever somebody needed to stop for something so that the whole line would know to stop, so nobody was left behind. Everybody was in sight of their neighbor buddies the whole time. And so there are various people shouting for holds. I need a drink of water. Oops, I stepped on something, and I now have a big thing sticking out of my pants that I need to be taken out, etc. We were instructed that we were going to walk a half hour, regardless of how far that was. They estimated it might be half a mile in that heat. And so that's what we did. And my picture was that we would walk out half an hour unencumbered. We would get to where we're going, we would put down our water, and we would walk back a half hour. We ended up being in the desert for almost 2 hours because of all of the holds. One of the holds was a woman who started feeling faint in the heat. And so several folks immediately got this big white sheet and, you know, stood at four corners and held it over her head. One of the medics ran back to the truck to get ice to put on her neck. They poured water over her. They took very, very good care of her. Another hold was when someone indeed found some bones. And as it turned out, they were not human remains. But we went through the protocol of looking, so we squished back together to create a grid and walked 100 feet within that grid to see if we could find more. And we did find a few more, and it turned out very obvious that it was animal remains. Joyfully. Well, not joyfully, but... We got to what would have been our half hour without the holds. We spread out again. We put out our water in this long, long line. The thinking was that we were moving south to north, and we would put out a line as wide as we possibly could so that people running our... We knew we were in one of the travel zones, right? So we knew that people would run into a gallon somewhere along that line. And then we walked back. And we walked back as a group. We sang some more. Oye, mi gente, traemos la fuerza. La libertad es la única bandera. Listen, my people, my condor, my eagle. No human being can ever be illegal. And that lifted us a little bit. We learned later that at that point, the temperature had turned to about 118. So when we got to within sight of the trucks, there was this, you know, kind of uplifting, hey, we're almost there. And at the same time, and we were probably maybe a football field away, at the same time, I got the sensation that I just didn't want to walk anymore. And I turned to my friend Laura, who was there with me, and I said, I need to stop for a minute. And we did, and the folks behind us, including the tail end people that were No More Deaths folks, caught up to us and said, you know, do you need something? And I said, no, I'm hot. I need to just stop and breathe for a minute. And they immediately said, may I take your backpack? May I pour some water over your head? Let me go get some ice. And just in a very, this felt so important to me while I was there. It wasn't, we're taking over your care. It was a very consensual, can I do this for you? I felt held. I was just hot. It was not anything approaching heat stroke. But they got me to the van and got me in the air conditioning in the van and got me some ice. And I refreshed. And we rode back. We passed the same Fish and Wildlife trucks on the way out. We passed the same Border Patrol station. We passed the same trucks that I didn't mention before. There were Border Patrol trucks passed, parked off the side of the road in two or three places with no officers in them. We were told that they were out on their ATVs looking for people. Some of the things that we found in the desert were a water bottle that had been carried by migrants. And we knew that because they were black. We were told that they carry black water bottles. And it was cut. It was slashed. We found a covering that people put on their shoes made of carpeting to help so that they don't make tracks, you know, like snowshoes on snow. And, of course, the bones. So it was a long ride back. We didn't sing as much going back. We chatted. We were quiet. We just kind of breathed and cooled off. When we got back, we debriefed with another group who had gone another route, and their story was very different. They were not stopped by law enforcement either, but one of their folks, their protocol was a little different. They had rode to the end of a road that was open to the public, and then there was a gate, and the road continued, but the public was not allowed to be on it, even with permits. And so they walked down that road, and their trip was 3 miles round trip. I did not choose to be on that trip. Their trip was 3 miles round trip, and about halfway back, one of their participants started feeling ill. And their No More Deaths facilitators were using walkie-talkies to communicate the whole time, as were ours. So they communicated that back up to the truck. A person at the truck started down with ice. They had a contingency plan to carry her out if needed be. And I swear they said not a minute or two went by before a Fish and Wildlife truck showed up at the truck at the gate. And the officers there, despite being told, no, we've got this, insisted on opening the gate, driving through, and picking up our participant and bringing her back to the truck, in spite of her protests, and not allowing her to have a companion in the truck with her. We surmised from that some of their protocols have to do with safety and having not more people than them in their vehicles. Right, so two humanitarian aid volunteers could very easily overcome an armed Fish and Wildlife officer with their water bottles. I don't know. And they also surmised, the No More Deaths folks surmised from this, that they wanted us to take back a story of how helpful they were. The code for that was, we got the white people treatment. And that happened to us as well, right? Just being waved through. It is possible that we will still receive citations. They have all of our names and permit numbers. And the way they actually issue citations is to mail them to people after they have found something that people have left in the desert. So I could find a citation in my mail, which would include a fine and the possibility of arrest. Neither of those things have happened yet to people who have received citations, so I'm feeling pretty safe about that, but you never know. So, We know there has always been migration, right? People have always hopped over these lines. The people telling us the history have told us that these borders were always permeable. You know, people would migrate up to work for the day and go home, or, you know, go visit somebody or sell their wares or whatever. And what has been happening little by little by little is that the easier points of access, the ports of entry in the cities and the places that aren't ports of entry but that are easy to go through, are being closed off. And then the walls are being built near those, so that what is happening is these migrants are being funneled through the most dangerous places that they could be. And this is intentional. I quote from the Border Patrol Strategic Plan 1994 and beyond. Illegal traffic will be deterred or forced over more hostile terrain, less suited for crossing and more suited for enforcement. So this is by design. And as that is happening, the number of Border Patrol agents are increasing. In the Ajo Station, Arizona is the Tucson sector, which covers most of the Arizona border, is split up into 8 stations. In the Ajo Station, Ajo is the town that we stayed in, there are 64 border miles. And before NAFTA, there were 10 officers assigned to those 64 miles. After NAFTA, there were 24. And today, there are 500. 500. There is video of Border Patrol agents that No More Deaths has taken, because sometimes when they put their water bottles out in groups, they put up a hunting camera. There is footage of Safety Patrol officers, Border Patrol officers, Safety Patrol. slashing water bottles, dumping water bottles, looking at cameras that they know are there, and laughing as they dump. Like our police force, this isn't an issue of individual officers. This is an issue of systemic prevention of movement of people who have moved forever. We were also told about what the No More Deaths folks called segregated emergency response systems. Fish and Wildlife were right on it when one of our white faith leaders got sick. There are documented hundreds and hundreds of calls to 911, to Border Patrol, from families of people who have gone disappeared in the desert with no responses. These people finally call No More Deaths and say, I'm looking for my disappeared person and no one will help me. Can you help me? It's inhumane. The border plan that I quoted from, one of the things they talk about is that they have put in these beacons, right? So if you are a migrant and you're crossing the desert and you have had it and you're on your last little reserve of energy, and which means, of course, you are turning yourself in, you can, and you're near one of these beacons, you can hit a button and it'll send a signal to Border Patrol folks and they will come for you. Except they don't always come. They just don't always come. So this has created what No More Deaths is calling a crisis of death and disappearance. Not missing persons, but the intentional language of death and disappearance, because that is what's happening. These people are not missing. They are disappearing and they are dying. It's also created a culture of fear, something we're familiar with here, right? I talked about the body armor and the guns on the enforcement officers. This system creates fear in migrants, right? They know these people are armed. They know they are hunting for them. This is the language No More Deaths used. They are hunting for them. They're out on their ATVs with binoculars hunting for them. And that creates fear in the migrants. And so when the migrants are approached, they run. They run. And so when they run, this is a story we hear in Madison and other places as well, when they run and they are caught, the chances of violence in their apprehension increases, right? Because they've run. This isn't limited to migrants. Border Patrol is interfering with humanitarian aid. The system is interfering with humanitarian aid. You have to sign on a permit that you will not leave anything in the desert. And this includes harassing aid workers. Almost every No More Deaths person I talked to said they have been harassed at some point in the desert. migrants are characterized as drug smugglers. And man, there's a whole sermon there that I'm not going to get into, except to say that many of them are not. And those that are generally not vicious people. They're trying to find a way to make some money to get across the border. And of course, illegal activity happens, and of course, violence happens, and of course, there are bad people crossing the desert too, but the system assumes that every single person is those people. And then finally, in this culture of fear, there's this normalization of acts of cruelty. One of the methods Border Patrol uses is called chase and scatter. They will fly over the desert in helicopters, and when they see groups of people, they'll swoop down really low and freak people out, and they'll run, they'll scatter. And when I was told about this, I was thinking, well, all right, well, the desert's a pretty open place, right? And surely you can see each other and come back together. And then I went out. I cannot imagine running in 118-degree heat. I barely made it a mile back and forth walking. And these people walk 30 to 50 miles and then have to be chased by a helicopter. So, in Leviticus, the part of the Torah where God gives the Israelites the instructions for how they are to live, if God is to live with them, it is written, "When strangers sojourn with you in your land, you shall do them no wrong. The strangers who sojourn with you shall be to you as natives among you, and you love them as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." No More Deaths is a faith-based group, and they frame humanitarian aid as a spiritual practice that should be allowed to be engaged. This resonates with me, and if you need UU language, it resonates with our second principle, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. Because I went on this trip, I have a better understanding of the culture of migration and the realities of what our administration and our agencies are doing to interfere with it. I have personal experience in the desert, in the heat, with no shade. No shade. We took a stop to drink some water, and somebody said, "Find some shade," and I went. There's bushes, and this is the lush season. This is the monsoon season. It has rained in the desert. There are flowers. It's green. And there's still no shade. Every bit of vegetation, if it's not a cactus, is something prickly and nasty that's going to get you if you go near it. That's just my soft northern skin, right? It's a harsh environment. It's prickly. Feeling it, feeling being there, is incomparable to anything I might hear or read or see. It sounds dire. There are places of hope that I have actively sought out during the experience and since. The volunteers are willing to continue to provide humanitarian aid. They're going. They're putting out water. There is a culture of compassion and caring in No More Deaths, in this arm of No More Deaths, at least, that I experienced, in a group called the Ajo Samaritans, who do similar work but are a different organization based in Ajo. The care was extended to us. We were fed beautifully, beautifully fed. We were sheltered, there were showers, volunteers opened their homes to us, they looked out for us, the medical care during the action was unsurpassed, and they made sure that everybody in the action had a role. Nobody was sitting around going, "What should I do?" We all had assigned roles. I was a song leader. And they reminded us of the layers of community, just like here in Madison. The town of Ajo is filled with people doing various kinds of work, retirees, snowbirds, Ajo Samaritans, No More Deaths people, Border Patrol and their families, Fish and Wildlife Enforcement and their families. They shop together, they go to school together, they live together, they eat together. For myself, coming into many of you know that I have been on a journey of recovery from losing my partner in divorce 2 years ago. I learned again that coming into something bigger than myself shifts my focus back up out of myself and my own stuff. It's a big lesson for me. So there's a list of things we can do. I'm going to be talking about this more. I mean, there's no way to fit this into one almost 25-minute sermon. The No More Deaths folks say we don't have to be professionals as we discern what we can do, right? They don't just need nurses and geographers, you know. They need people who are willing to go and be human. And they have some concrete suggestions. They talk about desegregating communities, getting into relationship, building communities, creating motivation for action by that desegregation. They're spreading that message everywhere. They talk about moving resources from places that have excess to places that have none or few. They ask us to analyze, to include analysis of systemic racism and oppression when we talk about fundraising. They ask us to look at where the money goes. Think about who's profiting. Where are these people going after they are apprehended? They're going into our jails for a while. And there's a specific ask. On the insert in your order of service that you may or may not have found yet, one side has these songs that I have been singing. The other side has a little bit of information and a couple of links. One link is to a letter that is going to all the land management agencies in the area and to the U.S. attorney to drop the charges that 9 No More Deaths volunteers are facing for leaving water in the desert, and to open up their land for volunteers doing humanitarian aid. Open that gate. Let people in. Don't chase us. Don't harass us. So that is the first link. And of course, the second is the plug, right? They operate on a volunteer basis. I'm told their annual budget is $130,000. So they need money. They need supplies. Their website has lists of the supplies they need and a way to donate online. Finally, and I think this is the most important thing because this is what I do. This is my job. Fight the dehumanization. Fight the dehumanization. Learn there has to be a way to help our authorities understand that these are people, not to be hunted, not to be chased down, not to be shepherded in. This is a whole other experience I had on Monday, not to be shepherded into a court 7 at a time to plead guilty to misdemeanor charges so that they can be sent off to be processed for deportation. 75 people were processed in 2.5 hours. How do you not stop seeing them as people? So this is our job as people of faith, right? Justice, equity, compassion in human relationships, inherent worth and dignity, interconnected web. Where you go, I will go, beloved. Where you go, I will go. Where you go, I will go, beloved. Where you go, I will go. For your people are my people. Your people are mine. Your people are my people, your divine, my divine. Join me. Where you go, I will go, beloved. Where you go, I will go. Where you go, I will go, beloved. Where you go, I will go. For your people are my people, your people are mine. Your people are my people, You're divine, my divine. May it be so.